Thank you for tuning in to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast. Do you feel like life has gotten crazy? Do you feel despair all around you? Do you feel like you need a miracle in your life? At some point, we could all use a miracle. Here are some practical life applications found in 2 Kings 3, 14 through 20 from the life of Elisha, so you can prepare your heart and mind for a miracle to happen.
Now, if she ever says, yeah, come in here and do something, I'm in trouble because I don't know how to cook. But I'm willing to try, amen? I don't know if anybody would be willing to eat what I tried, but, you know, that's what it is. Well, sometimes God says, I need you. And other times God said, just stay out of my way. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. So, he hasn't changed. How do I get a miracle like Elisha got? How do we get miracles in our life? How can I see the supernatural? Some of you need supernatural. Some of you have a need of a physical healing. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you have diabetes. Maybe you have, a kidney disorder. Whatever the case may be, you need a supernatural healing. Some of you need a supernatural empowering of your finances. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. When your take-home pay barely takes you home, you know? And we live in a terrible, I don't care what they say in the White House, inflation is killing America today. And things that used to cost a dollar cost $10. That's the truth. And it's just ridiculous what's going on, and how middle class and poor people are supposed to live is beyond me. You know how it's going to have to do? We're going to have to trust the Lord. Amen. He said, delight yourself also, Lord, and he'd give you desires of your heart. He said, trust the Lord, and you'll wax fat upon your bones. I'm waxing, y'all. I'm waxing because I've got to trust him more. And some of you need a miracle in your finances. Some of you need a miracle in your family. I talked to somebody this week who's been married 36 years, and her wife told him, I don't love you anymore. Fell out of love, and I want a divorce. And he was devastated. And you know what? He needs a miracle in his family. Somebody say amen. Some of you need a miracle in whatever area of your life. I want you to know something. The first thing I do, write this down. Number one, if I'm going to get a miracle, is you got to believe you need that God is able to do it. Somebody say amen. You got to believe that God is still the God of the miracles. I know what people say. Oh, miracles don't exist anymore. That went away with the last apostle. And I want you to know something. That's just not true. God is still working. God is still changing lives. God is still doing the miraculous. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed since Elijah. He hasn't changed since Elisha. He hasn't changed since the apostles. He didn't change since your great grandparents. He didn't change when the great pillars of the faith of bygone years have died. God is only limited by our faith and our obedience. Do you believe God's greatest desire is to be believed? And if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Amen? You have to believe that God is a God of miraculous.
Amen.
So ask yourself, what is it that God wants you to do? Because remember, you have a part too. Your faith is limited by your obedience to what God has asked you to do.
Amen.
There's an old song that we sing, Trust and Obey. That's faith, trust, and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God is only limited by our faith and by our obedience. Obedience precedes a miracle. You have to believe, and then you have to obey in order to get your miracle. There's a verse of scripture in James. Now, I believe in the power of God to heal. I believe that I have the anointing to pray for people to get healed. But the Bible says in James, if any man be sick, let him call the elders of the church. Do you see that? In order for you to be healed or have someone pray for you to be healed, you have to first call for them to pray. You see that? And so you have to be willing to swallow your pride and call somebody or come up to the altar and say, I need a healing. I need you to touch me, and I need to believe that God can heal. And then God will use whomever's prayer it may be and whatever anointing it may take in order to have your miracle. You have to obey first and receive second. What is it that God wants you to do? That what is it that's stopping your miracle from taking place? Before he can work, before he can perform, before he can grant you a supernatural touch of divine providence, he's got something that he wants you to do. Can I give you a couple suggestions? Maybe number one, Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in men and trust in God.
Amen.
He says, well, I don't trust in man. Really? I can only tell you from experience, but sometimes we talk and trust a guy in a white coat that went to a medical school before we'll trust a preacher who's on his knees before God. And a doctor is not God. I had that conversation with that doctor when he wanted to admit me in the hospital a few years ago. And I looked at him. He said, you're going to be dead in 2 days if you don't get in this hospital. And I looked at him and I said, you're not God. And you know what he did though? He took his glasses off and looked at me and says, you're not either. He says, but I am a medical doctor, and I'm telling you that this condition is terrible, and if you don't let me treat you, you're going to die. And I said, man, I'm a man of faith and healing. I confess that I walk in divine health and prosperity. I said, every day. He said, well, that's good. Don't you think God can work through me? And you know what? My pride didn't want to believe that. My pride did not want me to acknowledge that God sometimes does work through doctors. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
But maybe there's people who are trusting too much in a doctor, and the doctor has said this, 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 and you say, well, that's what the doctor said, so it must be right. I want to know something. Dr. Jesus has veto power over somebody else. Amen? God, I have seen the miraculous. I have seen people healed of unusual diseases and right before your very eyes. Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in what the doctor said. Maybe he wants to stop trusting in what a relative has said. Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in the government for what you get. Maybe he wants you to stop trusting in the church or your employer to meet your needs and start fully relying on God. Everybody in here, I want you to say it. I know it sounds silly. Even if you're listening to me by way of satellite, say it. Ready? Ready? I want you to do this. Ribbit. Ribbit. Everybody do it. Ribbit. Ribbit. You say, I'm a grown man. I'm sitting here saying, ribbit. Ribbit. 272 million people hear me go, ribbit. Ribbit. Why? Because I want you to become a frog. F-R-O-G. Fully rely on God.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, in order to get your miracles, you got to stop trusting in what man said and fully rely on God. Ribbit. Ribbit. You'll never forget that now. Fully rely on God. Do what God has already asked you to do in order to get in line to prepare yourself for your miracle. You have to obey. Obedient service produces miracles, and miracles precede gratefulness, and gratefulness precedes praise. See, maybe God is saying to you, you need to stop trusting in man, start fully relying on God. But maybe this act of obedience is this. He's saying, is there any seed that you've sown in the ground? See, that's part of what we've got to do. You reap what you sow, whether you sow good or whether you sow bad. And so when you want a miracle in your life, when you want God to show up and show out, then you've got to sow a seed. A seed is anything that you place in the hands of God and expect God to multiply that. It can be money, it can be time, it can be service, it can be whatever. But I'm telling you, he's asking you the question, have you obeyed me? And sowing seeds in the ground. Have you sown a seed and then told the Lord what this seed is and how you want it to purpose, what you want that seed to accomplish? In other words, have you sown a seed and told the Lord and then by faith expect to receive the miracle that that seed offering was placed on? This week, our treasurer was reconciling the church accounts. And I had asked her for a particular balance on one of the accounts for the real estate that we do. And she reminded me when she sent me the form, there was and here's what it said, seed sown. And I thought, look at that. Even in our church treasury report, there was a seed sown. And that seed was sown in anticipation of God blessing and bringing to pass enough funds so that we could take on the responsibilities of what I just told you, feeding the 10, feeding the 15, taking care of drum boy. We had a huge need for finances because guess what? Toys aren't free. Food going to Nicaragua isn't free. The gift bags that we give to the homeless aren't free. It costs money. Even when things are free, it costs money. Amen? You might get the rice donated, but you got to pay for it to get there. And so it takes funds. The Bible said money answers all things. And so we sowed a seed. There was a seed sown. You know what you said? Seed sown, about faith seed sown or something. The word seed sown. And then I looked down below that. A few weeks later, that seed sown multiplied 100-fold and met the need because the seed had been sown. Now, listen to me. One of the reasons people don't get miracles, whatever miracle it may be, physical healing, financial, getting out of trouble, rebellious kids, family trouble. God has spoke to you about sowing a seed, and in your greed, you won't sow a seed, so you still have a need. He said, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you got to, by faith, sow a seed and put it in good ground and then tell God what that seed's for. Now, that was finances. Let me tell you, I've told the story 1,000 times to the church family, but it's the truth. My daddy used to not be a Christian. I was the first Christian in my family. Got saved when I was 12. Everybody else was meaner than the devil. And I was pretty bad too until I got saved. Jake saved. Got saved at 12. and I wanted to see my daddy and mama saved. But mom and daddy were, long story short, my sister died when she was 6, right before I was born. And they blamed God and they were angry at God. And daddy didn't want to hear anything about God. And he wouldn't let me talk about God. He did everything he could to keep me from going to church. He did everything he could to stop me from serving the Lord. And when I told him I was called to preach, he literally, I want to say hated me. He hated the fact that God had, he wanted me to be an architect. He wanted me to be a general contractor like he was. He was angry at me, at God, and made my life very miserable. And so I tried my best to do what I could to win daddy to Christ. And for 6 years, I prayed for my daddy to get saved. And for 6 years, daddy never got saved. Daddy got mad. He'd run the people off that came to talk to him about church. And every time we had a way for me to go to church, he'd take us off and wouldn't let me go. He was just always contrary. Y'all don't know that. See, you know the good daddy. Well, so what I did was I said, Lord, I got a hold of this thing about sowing seeds. He wouldn't let me talk to him about Jesus. He wouldn't let me talk to him about God. He refused to hear anything about it. So I started leaving my Bible open. Just like this. I'd leave my Bible open, and if you can see it, I don't know if you can or not, but I had underlined and yellow highlighted, and I'd leave my Bible sitting on the dining room table, and I'd maybe put it over on the coffee table and have it open different scriptures and have them underlined because he wouldn't talk to me, but Mama, he one had to move my Bible. They'd have to kind of see a word here or there. I put up a big poster in my room, hurry and get on the bus to heaven. He will be here any time, and I had a cross, and I did everything I could to silently witness to my daddy, but he never got saved. And so I learned the secret of sowing seeds. Acts 16:31 said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's me. And your household.
Amen.
And I learned, I got hooked up with a lady named Margaret Darty at the church that I went to at that time. And she and I went on Thursday nights and soul winning. And I determined that I was going to try to lead other daddies to Christ. I couldn't get my daddy saved. So I'd go out with Margaret. And when there was a family, my target was the man. I wanted the man to get saved. And so every Thursday for several years, we would go. And when I would have the privilege of leading a man to Jesus, I would take that night and I'd say, God, Pete just got saved. And he's the daddy of 6 kids. I'm sowing Pete into the kingdom so one day my daddy will get saved. I was planting a seed of another man believing that God would save my daddy.
Amen.
6 years later, the seed sown became the harvest. And my daddy walked down the aisle while I was singing at a gospel concert at Midway Baptist Church, and he trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And when he died here, he died as a deacon at our church. Somebody say amen. See, so God says to you, you want something? Then sow a seed. And put expectation on that seed. And wait and see that I won't do the miraculous. Obedience always precedes a miracle.
Amen.
Secondly, if you want to have a miracle in your life, you not only have to believe that God can do them, obey what God has told you to do, but you also need to prepare your associations so you can get your miracle. In chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, interesting verses, Elijah said to the three kings. Now, there's three kings. There's the king of Israel, king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they all come as one and say, we need a miracle, and we need you to pray for us, and we need you to work and ask God. And notice what he said in verse 14. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, if it were not for the presence of the king Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, I would not look on you. He said, you three kings, we three kings. Oh, never mind. You three kings, I like one of you. But the other two are, y'all wretched. And they were. They were bad. They weren't serving God, especially the king of Edom. And Elijah said, so if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't give you the time of day. But because of that, I'll listen to you. I learned two lessons. Number one, who you hang around with determines whether you're going to get your miracle or not.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. See, not only does obedience precede your miracle, but your associations precede your miracle. Elijah told him, said, you got the king of Israel, king of Edom, and a king of Judah. You have a common enemy, the Moabites, but I don't care about that. If it weren't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even listen to you. Wrong partnerships produce negative consequences, and negative consequences will hinder your miracle from coming to pass. God does not want you to hook up with an unbeliever. And he may say to you, be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, and demand that you sever the tie with that negative talking, negative walking, negative living person before you'll get your miracle. But I like him. See, I always teach our young people, don't even date someone who's not saved and coming, going to church and serving God, because the danger is you might fall in love with him or her.
Yep.
And then breaking up will be a whole lot harder thing to do. So the best thing to do, like the words of the famous Karate Kid, when he said, Mr. Miyagi said, Daniel-san, the best way to avoid a punch is no be there. And that's the way it is with Christian young people dating and singles dating. The best way to not get hooked up with an unbeliever is no be there. You need to be a nacho girl. I'm not your girl. I'm not your girl. Because once you get married, you're married. God doesn't believe in divorce, so you're stuck. You've been trying to get in business with somebody, and all of a sudden this guy comes up and he's an unbeliever, and he said, I'll finance your business. You better watch out. That's a trick of the devil. But on just a practical form, you're going to school or you're going to work and you hook up with these people who are drinking and smoking and running around on their wife and doing all kind of evil stuff, and you want to hang around with them, your miracle, it could be avoided because you are with the wrong crowd. So God said through Elisha, you need to, these people are bad. 1 Corinthians 15:33 said, evil communication corrupt good manners. You want God to work supernaturally in your life? Watch who you associate with. Watch what they say. Oh, that won't ever work. You're driving all the way from Bessemer City. That church ain't going to give you nothing. Sharon's a long ways. You know, gas is $3 a gallon. You can't afford to go there. Why are you listening to that guy? He's ugly and he's fat and he's from America. You don't need to be listening to him. Turn the radio off. Oh, no, that won't work. That won't work. Have you ever just woke up with somebody, you know, and you just start talking to you, and all you hear is negative, 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 negative. I was preaching in Nicaragua, and I was kind of talking around the subject, and I had a translator. You know, they all spoke Spanish, and I didn't speak it. And I said, avoid the negative Nancys in your life. And the interpreter, who is Nancy? they didn't know what I meant. I had to kind of back up. I said, people that talk negative all the time. And if you're not careful, your miracle will get delayed because you begin to believe negative Nancy. Woe is me. It'll never work. There's somebody on Facebook, love to death. I've known for years. Every time their post is always, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I can't believe my kid's sick again. This is the worst day of my life. She's had the worst day of her life for at least once a week for 2 years now. So finally, she said, the other day, said, I don't know how I'm going to get through December. And I just worded back, cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Can I hear an amen? And so you know what? I don't read her post anymore. Why? Because you got to avoid negativity. Amen. Woe is me, it won't work. Tell me how it will work. Talk to me about faith. Talk to me about believing in God. I've been praying for these containers to get out of Nicaragua, and my prayers have changed a little bit. Lord, we need the food from Nicaragua. You know what? God knows that. And Lord, you know we need to be able to feed those babies. And when I went down there and I said, Lord, we got to do better. We need this food out. It's here. It's sitting here. Help us. But then I had the co-founder of our ministry has gotten negative on me here lately. And he said, we just need to forget about that food. Just go ahead and just tell it, just destroy, what, abandon it. Don't worry about it. We're not going to send any more down there. There's no need for even sending. Let's don't even worry about it no more. And so now my prayer is, God, show him you're a miracle God. God, show him that you can get it out. Because he'll tell me, you're not going to be able to get it out. So-and-so didn't get theirs out. And they've been there 36 years. So-and-so didn't get theirs there. It's been 24 years. We'll never get it out because the government has changed and there's this, that, and the other thing. And I'm saying, Lord, we need the food for the children, but I want you to increase his faith. Show what a great miracle God you are. By the way, we got a text this morning. It's getting out next week. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord from whom all blessings flow. And you know what I'm going to do whenever we get it out? I'm going to give him an old-fashioned, na, 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 na. I might even take him to dinner and just look at him and say, na, 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 na. God is able. Can I hear an amen? Watch your associations. Don't hang around negative people. Corrupt words, negative talk, dirty language, dirty ideas. They will hinder your miracle. Frank Outlaw wrote it this way. Watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become words. Watch your words, because they become actions. Watch your actions, because they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become your character. And watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. I want a miracle. Believe, obey, and watch your associations. Please also notice that just on the negative side, he said, I wouldn't give you the time of day, but because you're hanging around Jehoshaphat, I'm going to hear you, and God's going to perform a miracle. Sometimes when we hang around the right people and we get around the right associations and we make friends with righteous people and we hang around with people of faith, God honors that.
Amen.
I have a little saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. You need to hang around wise people.
Amen.
Older people, people walking by faith, people who are receiving miracles, and see what God does. You know, check your friends, check your business partners, check those things, those people that you hang around the most, because those people may be hurting. Or on the other side, they could be hastening your miracle if you get in the right place. By the way, that goes for your place of worship too. There used to be an advertisement on TV. Next Sunday, go to the church of your choice. Sounds nice, but it's not true. You don't go to the church of your choice. You need to go to the church where the gospel's preached.
Amen.
You need to go to church where the faith is taught. You need to go to church where they preach the truth, where they live the truth, where they practice the truth, and most importantly, where you have opportunity to serve the Lord. Can I say it this way? Some of you need to change churches. Well, I've been going to that church since my great-grandmother and my grandfather. It was named after my grandpa, and my mom and daddy are buried in the graveyard there. You're from Sharon. My grandmother is buried at the Canaan Church there in Sharon. I don't mean I'm going to go to Canaan Methodist Church because my grandma's there. See, we're going to the church for the wrong reason. You need to watch where you go. And some of you need to go to a church where you can get fully involved and serve God.
Amen.
Sow seeds of service if you can't sow seeds of anything else. My grandson got that little communication link from Santa Claus. And he scans it on his phone. And what Santa does is tells him a act of kindness that he has to do that day. Now, I know his grandpa pretty well. And the reason he got that communication link was because him and his sisters don't get along, and he needs to learn how to be kind.
Amen.
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 So he's sowing seeds of kindness. He has to keep a journal of all the kind works he did. And the other day he said to me, "Papa, was I good today?" I said, "Yeah, you were really good today." "What does that mean?" I said, "That means you can write in your journal, I was good today." He's all excited. And the next thing I know, he's over there cleaning up some apple juice his sister had sown. And he looked at me and said, "Papa, is that an act of kindness?" I said, "Yep, that's an act of kindness. Write that in your journal." Amen?
Amen.
And some of us have to do the same things. You understand what I'm trying to say? You need to go where you can serve God and become a part of doing kind things for others.
Amen.
Hey, and you know what? Some of you listening to me need to start your own church. Because you've been going, there's no church that preaches like this church, and there's no church that preaches the truth, and there's no church that you can serve. And I'd rather you not go to church at all than go to a cult. Don't go to the Catholic Church. Don't go to the Mormon Church. Don't go to the Jehovah's False Witness Church. Don't go to the churches that are not preaching the truth. Well, there's not one around me. Then start one. Well, how am I going to start a church? I don't know what to do. Hey, that's why we've got the internet. That's why we've got the radio. That's why we got satellite. Go to our website, maddenworldwide.com, and get your group of people together. Push play and let me preach to you. Somebody say amen. Let this church minister to you. And what will happen, you get a little group of people, two or three people together, and you go to listening to sermons and begin to talk about them. Like we do on Wednesdays, we recapitulate what we've preached on Sundays, and you do the same thing. And before long, God will call somebody in your little group there to be the pastor, and before long, you'll have a little church, and you'll be preaching the truth, and you won't need me anymore. Can I hear an amen? Maybe you need to roll in our free Bible college so you can get trained on how to be a preacher. There's all kind of things. What I'm saying to you is this: if you want a miracle, then you got to get ready for it.
That's right.
And that might mean changing churches.
Changing ways.
And this, believe it or not, all that's my introduction. Here's the main point of the message. If you want a miracle, you got to prepare your heart to receive the miracle. You got to prepare your heart. Listen, the heart is the seat of the soul. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And like it or not, and you big tough men looking at me, my daddy used to whip me if I cried. Men don't cry. Yes, sir. No matter how bad it was, you couldn't cry. Men don't cry. I love my daddy. One of the things that Papa Joe was known for whenever he got saved, after he got saved, y'all tell me, y'all hear, and he became, was every service he wept like a baby. He cried all the time. God broke his heart. He understood, and my daddy was a strong construction worker. He used to build the skyscrapers in Charlotte, and he said he'd be on the top, and he'd hear a new hire, and he was so mean, he'd call the crane, he'd get on that wrecking ball, and he'd ride that wrecking ball down 20 stories and start a fight with the guy that just got hired. He was a mean man. But once he got saved, God broke his heart. And man, he began to cry, and he began to weep, and he began to pray, and he began to serve. You know what happened? I got a new daddy when I got, and he got saved. Amen? And some of you need to understand the same thing. Guys, it's okay. Emotions are a part of us. We're emotional beings. Now, men are not quite as emotional as women in most cases. But nonetheless, we all have emotions. Emotions, can you trust them? No, you can't. But we are emotional beings, amen? And so for you to get ready for your miracle, you've got to get your heart right. Your heart is your emotions. And that's what happened. I want you to notice something. We are emotional beings, but we're also logical thinking, reasoning beings. That makes us human beings. We're not dogs or cats. Dogs don't think, they just act by instinct. Cats don't think, they just act by instinct. People think. People reason. People have the ability to reason things out. And then we also have the emotions. And so the goal is to have a balance between your life of logic, fact-based, a life of faith, which is Bible-based, and a life of emotionals, which is feeling-based. And when we're level in all three of those areas, when you're thinking right, when you're believing right, and when you're feeling right, then you've got yourself in balance. And in Chinese medicine, we call it a state of homeostasis. You're in balance. And we don't want to be overbalanced in any area. I've known people who are so spiritual-minded, they're no earthly good. Amen? Then I've known people on the other side who are so logically thinking that they get paralysis through analysis and they don't ever do anything because they overthink it all the time. So we need this balance. And the balance of our emotions and our logic and our faith will cause us. And the whole purpose of this message is chapter 3, verse 15. Because I want you to see what happened. After Elisha was convinced that God would work through him and do a miracle, he said, "Bring now me a minstrel." That seems odd. Bring a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of God came upon him. The word minstrel means musician. Not just a musician, but a skilled musician. Someone who could play very well. And Elisha said, in order for me to help you with this big miracle you need, I first have to have some music. I've got to have a good worship leader come in and minister. Why was he saying that? Because his emotions were not right. His emotions were mixed up. His emotions were not in check. Remember this, praise precedes miracles. And if your mind is messed up, if your heart is messed up, then you can't praise. And if you can't praise, you can't get a miracle. You have to be able to receive, get your emotions. We say, well, what's wrong with his emotions? Look in chapter 2. Look at that. I've been preaching 50 years. I've never preached on this text. Chapter 2, the last thing that happened. The second thing. It says, and he went up from this unto Bethel. This is Elijah. He's going up now. He's crossed the Jordan. He's convinced them that God is with him. And now he's going up by the way. And there came out little children out of the city. And they mocked Elijah. And they said, go up, you bald head. Go up, Baldy. Go up, O Baldy. And he turned back. And he looked on them, and he cursed them. He didn't GD and UMF-er. He said, God curse you. And notice what happened. This kind of scares me a little bit. He cursed them in the name of the Lord, and there came forth two she-bears and tear 42 children. 42 kids were eaten or mangled by two angry grizzly bears because Elisha had cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now God did that so that it would validate that Elisha was a man of God. And to put the fear in God into the other children who were making fun of the man of God. Notice it said 42 of them. There were more of them. Only 42 were attacked by the bear. By the way, the word children there doesn't mean four-year-olds. It is the word youth. So they were probably teenagers. Smart aleck teenagers. I got some smart aleck teenagers I know I'd like to turn over to a she-bear. Somebody asked me, I said, why was it a she-bear? Because a she-bear is meaner than a he-bear. You ever seen a mama bear mad? Woo, glory to God. I don't know about mama bear, but my bear that I live with for 45 years, she can get pretty upset sometimes. She can throw soda bottles at you. And so these 42 teenagers were ripped apart. They were mangled, mostly eaten by two angry she-bears, and Elisha saw that. And that's called trauma, y'all. And that tragedy was God's way of evidence that Elisha was God's appointed man. But the sight and the smell and the sound and the horrendous death of 42 teenagers before his eyes messed with his emotions. Listen to me. Sometimes traumatizing effects and events in your life can get you all out of sorts emotionally. Maybe you've seen, hey, when I tell you, when I went down to Nicaragua, my life will never be the same. I told somebody yesterday, I can't eat like I used to eat. I can't take a bath. I have to watch what I do because I saw kids with nothing. I saw kids stand in line in hurricane force winds and rain for over an hour to get 2 spoons of rice. Traumatizing events will cause you to be emotionally upset. And some of y'all went through it. Divorce traumatizes children. Hospital, car accidents, financial problems, bankruptcy, just excessive pain. These things cause you to get messed up emotionally. And when you're messed up emotionally, you can't receive from God the miracle. See, I sat at the bedside of a dying saint, racked in pain. And it's hard for the people around them to believe in miracles when their loved one is dying. I've preached funerals for stillborn babies. I've preached funerals for 21. I've carried the casket of a 21-day-old baby and placed it in the grave. Those are traumatizing events to parents. Those are traumatizing events to the preacher. And so here Elisha's saying, I can't receive a miracle. I can't do a miracle until I get my praise on. I've got to get my mind right. I've got to get my emotions right. Bring me in a musician and let me hear some praise and worship music. I want you to learn 2 lessons and I'll hurry. One is you got to watch out how you treat the man of God. 42 children either got terribly mangled or eaten because of the way they treated the man of God. 2 times in the Bible, 1 Chronicles 16:22 and Psalms 105:15, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. Parents, you got to teach your children better. Teach them to respect the pulpit. Teach them to respect your pastor. Teach them to respect the shepherd. Because there'll come a time when they need a man of God.
Oh yeah.
And if you've been talking bad about the man of God, if you've been putting him down, if you've been saying this, that, and the other about him, they're not going to know who to call, and they're not going to call, and they're going to end up in drugs and alcohol and pregnant before marriage and have all these problems in their life because you have not, they don't know who to call because you've criticized the one man who could help them. You've criticized the church program, and your children will be in disrepair and disrepute because of it. But also notice something else. When you are in favor with the man of God, God is in favor with you.
Amen.
Elisha turned and he looked on those children. Oh God, I put in my notes here. Oh God, may we never want to be in a situation where the prophet of God turns on us. Where instead of blessing me, he curses me. When he looks on you with disdain, and especially he curses you instead of blessing you. See, you need to recognize the authority and the anointing of the prophet that God has put in your life. Your pastor, whoever you're listening to, your pastor is the anointed shepherd, and he's there for your good. Therefore, you need to guard his blessing on your life. Lift him up in prayer. Edify him in front of others, and allow him to be your leader. Now, there's a difference between a preacher and a shepherd. A pastor's heart is a gift from God. A pastor cares for his people. A pastor guards his people. A pastor protects his people. A pastor prays for his people. A pastor leads his people. God speaks to your shepherd before he speaks to the sheep. I'm going to say that again. God speaks to your shepherd before he speaks to the sheep. So sometimes God will allow your shepherd to have knowledge of something that's going to happen if you do a certain thing. And so when you go to him and he says, what do you think about this? You need to listen to what he has taught. Because God may be speaking to the shepherd before he speaks to the sheep. You need to allow your shepherd to have veto power in your life, just like Elijah. In Hebrews chapter 12, it admonishes us to obey those that have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God. Follow his faith.
Amen.
But Elijah needed to have praise before he serves. Elijah needed to get his emotions in check before he could do a miracle. He needed to clear his mind of the scene of 42 dead bodies before he could do anything for God. Think of this. There comes a time in your life when you have to trust the sovereign God is in control.
Yep.
I don't believe that Elijah wanted 42 kids to be eaten alive by bears. That wasn't in his heart. And when he saw this happening, he said, "Oh my God, what are you, oh God, help, oh Jesus, what in the world, help us, Lord." No, no. He might even tried to fend the bears off. I don't know. But I know one thing. There come a point between that verse and this verse that we're preaching on today where he had to trust that God was sovereign. Listen to me. The greatest, second only salvation, the greatest knowledge you'll ever get is this. God is on his throne. All is right with my world. God never, nothing happens to you by accident. There's no such thing as luck in a Christian life. No such thing as coincidence. So what is happening to you right now, God either allowed it to happen or God caused it to happen. Either way, he's God and we're not. And Elijah had to, he just had to accept that. He didn't like what he saw, but he knew he served a sovereign God who knew more than he did, and so he surrendered to the sovereignty of God. And that's tough. See, my mom and daddy rebelled against God for 18 years because they couldn't accept the sovereign fact that God took my sister Maxine with leukemia at age 6, and they didn't understand it. And the truth of the matter is, we still don't understand it. We don't know, but I know this, God is sovereign. And God knew what was right. I wrote a testimony one time, and they published it in a book called God Took an Angel and Sent a Preacher. Because she died on July 4th, and I was born September 23rd. And they said she was an angel. I don't know. I've never met her. I will in heaven. But I know that God sent me to be a preacher. Maybe I wouldn't have been born. Maybe I wouldn't have been a child. I don't know. But God knows. And that's what, everybody say this with me. God knows. Say it out loud. God knows. And everything that happens in our life, he either allows or he causes. And if we learn to trust that, then we can do it. But there's times, sometimes you have to be like Job. When he lost his kids, he lost his health, he lost his house, he lost his business. The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The trial of your faith is much more precious than that of gold. So he knew, Elijah knew, that he had to get his mind right. He had to get his emotions right. He just went through a trauma, and he had to get right. And the way he got right, before he prayed, before he declared, before he performed, before he did a miracle, he worshiped with music. Music sets the tone of your life. Music soothes the savage beast. Oh, well, let me say, the right music.
Yeah.
The right music soothes the savage beast. Sadly, most modern music excites the savage beast. You won't get in a frame of worship and getting miracles listening to Snoop Dogg Doobie-Doob. Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who he is. I just know his name. But, you know, Mariah Carey might be nice and pretty and all that, but she's not going to get you in a mood to worship God. What's that girl that everybody talks about now? The one that sells Taylor Swift. She might sing. I've never heard her sing. I don't know. But she's not going to get you in a mood to worship God. Hello? Country music is not going to get you to worship God. Rap music is not going to get you in the mood to worship God. AC/DC and Kiss, are they still around? They're not going to get you to worship God. Punk rock's not going to get you to worship God. And you wonder, why am I always angry? Why am I always upset? Because you listen to head-banging junk music all the time. Yep. Rise up and kill them. Go ahead and shoot them. That be this, that, the other. One good boost. Yeah, with that. Oh, you're not going to praise God. Listen to that kind of mess. Somebody said there's a new song out, country and rap. They call it crap music. I don't know. But you don't need to listen to that. By the way, contemporary Christian music, you better watch out too, because if you want Elijah needed his head straight. So he didn't call for Alice Cooper. He called for the minstrel. He called for a harpist. He called for soothing music. Music sets the tone. Music sets the emotions. Why do you think we do music before we sing? When we were singing, there's power, power, power in the blood. Some of y'all got happy about it. Yeah, there is. Amen.
Yes.
Listen to the music. And we don't have an excuse nowadays. You can listen to all kind of music all the time. Right here in this area, 91.1 is the Bible Broadcast Network. They play spiritual music. So when you're trying to get in a worship mood, listen to them. 91.9 is K-Love. When you want to have a little excitement in your life and still listen to some good music, go to 91.9. 106.9, I call it kind of my lukewarm station. It's got some teaching, preaching in there, and it's got a little bit of light contemporary music, some Southern gospel. That's good. But you know what I did? I invested in Sirius XM, channel 65. It's full-time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, gospel music. And I listen to that all the time. Enlighten is also on there, channel 63. YouTube, GodTube. You have no excuse for not listening to gospel music. And when you listen to good Southern or good sounding gospel music, it will get you in the mood to receive your miracle. Your miracle. So the more music you listen to, it's going to help you. So here's what you got to do. Don't deny the effect that life has had on your soul. Don't deny that. You've been through a trauma? Admit it. It messed you up. You were in a car wreck where somebody got killed? It messed you up. Admit it. And now call for a minstrel. Start to praise and worship. Enter to his gates with thanksgiving, to his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Isaiah 26:3 said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee.
Amen.
You want peace? Have your mind stayed on Christ. Listen to this good gospel music preaching. Romans 15:13 said, now the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace in believing. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful.
Amen.
How do we prepare for a miracle? You got to get your heart right. And your heart can't be right if it's traumatized. And you get out of trauma by staying on your mind on Jehovah. Listening to good music, listening to good preaching, reading the good word of God, sowing the seeds, obeying God, believing he can do it, and then your miracle will come. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you that you're a God of miracles. But we have a part to play. We must first believe. We must then obey. We must sow seeds with expectation in preparation for our miracle. And yes, Lord, we must prepare our heart. Admit that we've gotten off track, our minds are all messed up, our emotions are out of whack. And then use what you have taught us, the Word of God, the music of God, the peace of God, to rule our hearts. And then we can see a miracle of God. Lord, we need you today. We need your power. We need your miracle working power to touch and heal every person in this room today, every person listening to me today. We need a miracle. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, U.S. of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information.
thank you for tuning in for the conclusion of this series. Join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern as the pastor starts on a new topic. Until then, we will be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.